back when I was pastoring, God really got my attention through some personal situations as well as through ministry as to my neglect of prayer and the importance of prayer. And I remember I went to my first prayer conference and really was challenged in a way that I hadn't been challenged before in that area. I'd been taught to pray, but really hadn't employed that in ministry like I needed to. So God really, as we say here in the South, God really took me to the woodshed on that.
You're listening to the AMS Excellence Podcast. This podcast is dedicated to the discussion of strategic best practices related to associational missions. Here's your host, Rick Curtis.
Good day, everyone. Today we have the privilege of discussing something that most of us tend to neglect, and we are talking about building a culture of prayer in the association. And our special guest today is the one and only Bob Lohman. Bob, it's great to have you on the podcast again.
Thank you. Great to be here.
So, Bob, the last time I had you on the podcast, we were talking about being an active listener, and today I'm going to shift into that mode and be an active listener because we are talking about such an important thing that is building a culture of prayer in the association. Let me remind the listeners, though, first, Bob is the executive director of Metrolina Baptist Association, and Bob, let's remind the folks of your ministry history. Just take a couple minutes to do that, and then we'll jump into the questions.
Okay. Yeah, we've been here in Charlotte now with Metrolina Association for 15 years this fall, and before that, I led a regional prayer ministry called Metrolina Prayer Network for several years, and before that, pastored three churches here in North Carolina. So I've been on a journey, and virtually all that time has been spent in North Carolina, but it's my home state and love it here. So God's really blessed, and glad we've been able to stay and minister in this place.
Well, praise the Lord. Hey, for our listeners today, I want you to know that we at the North American Mission Board, as well as among our AMS ambassadors that we've appointed throughout the nation, we know Bob to be a man of prayer. In fact, Bob, you're the driving force for us to go to the Father when we all get together. It seems like everybody comes to you and says, hey, Bob, lead us in prayer. So you're the right man for the podcast today. Tell me, why is prayer so important to you?
Well, back when I was pastoring, it's in the 1990s, actually the early 90s, God really got my attention through some personal situations as well as through ministry as to my neglect of prayer and the importance of prayer. And I went to my first prayer conference here back in those years and really was challenged in a way that I hadn't been challenged before in that area. I'd been taught to pray by a really significant pastor mentor that I'd known through my high school years, but really hadn't employed that in ministry like I needed to. So God really, as we say here in the South, God really took me to the woodshed on that. And I wrestled through that, and that burden really has only grown since then till now. And prayer is, as I like to say, prayer is the starting place for life and ministry, and prayer is the sustaining place for life and ministry. And that's, I mean, good. If we neglect the discipline of prayer, we're really, really just living in active disobedience to the Lord who told us to pray. So I've just been convicted of that, you know, for decades. And thankfully, the Lord's teaching me one day at a time, one year at a time, how to practice a little better.
That's incredible. Yeah. You know, I see your posts all the time. You do an active online prayer hosting in your association, and I've really come to appreciate that. I watch it when I can. You know, we're all inundated with online this and online that, but I have several times watched through your specific prayer times there online, and I've come to really appreciate your heart in that. And as I've said many times, we do neglect this typically in our own lives, and I want to pivot from kind of the individual prayer here and say, I should say, ask you a question. Why is prayer so important within the association and in the lives of our pastors?
Well, I know when God really called us to, and actually it was interesting, when we were called to Charlotte and we were coming to a church 24 years ago, it was the first time I'd been called to a city. My wife and I both, Carl and I both sensed that we were called to the city of Charlotte and to minister in a church, but that really led to a greater involvement in prayer here. And I think one of the reasons for that, one of the reasons why prayer is so important in an association, especially in an association like ours, is the needs are so great. Mm. And they're daunting and they're challenging, and there's so many challenges here and there. So, I mean, really, it's either throw your hands up and say, we can't do anything, or it's go to your knees and say, Lord, we can't handle this, but you can. So help us reach this city, help us make a difference in this family of churches, et cetera. So for me, it's been the magnitude of the responsibility that and the need of the mission field, really, that's driven me to more prayer here at our association.
No, that's great. So I'm thinking, when you're talking, I'm thinking about the dynamics of both prayer and responsibility, right? So I'm thinking, I know that sometimes our duty drives us to prayer, and sometimes our prayer drives us to duty. And so we're talking about two different things here, right? We have a personal prayer life that we need to keep active and vibrant. And then we have this duty, forgive the word duty, because I don't think any of us sees it as something that's tiresome or burdensome. And sometimes the word duty associates that. That's not what I'm talking about. But we have this duty to pray for our pastors and lead our pastors in prayer. Talk to me a minute about that dynamic. Do you find that knowing that you have that responsibility to lift up your pastors in prayer accentuates your personal prayer life, or should they be completely dichotomous? What are your thoughts there?
I mean, really, I think they feed each other. Because I know there are some situations where, like several years ago, one of the stories I've told several times in teachings on prayer is I just went to visit one of our pastors who had been struggling with some issues and was having a hard time, had lunch with him. And when I got back to his church, I just put my hand on his shoulder and said, "Brother, it'd be okay if I prayed with you right now?" And he said, "Sure." So I prayed for him. And just simple prayer. But when I said amen and looked up, he had tears running down his face. Mm-hmm. I said, "What is it?" He'd been pastoring for around 15 to 20 years. He said, and I trust him for being honest, but he said, "Bobby, I think that's the first time anybody's ever prayed for me like that."
Wow.
And for me at that point, I mean, I felt, I'm going to say embarrassment, but shame at hoping I had done what I needed to do to pray for him. And also a little bit of frustration that churches hadn't come alongside him and other leaders hadn't come alongside him to pray for him, because he'd had some significant challenges in life. But now, I said both at the same time, that one drove me to want to pray for him. And then it reminded me that I had that responsibility to maintain my own personal walk with God so that I would be able to be a responsible intercessor in the lives of others. So they kind of feed each other. The needs are so great. And at the same time, our needs are so great. And we need to be practicing that dependence. Because actually, that's one thing I remember we learned in the transformational church process, that they didn't call it just prayer. They called it prayerful dependence. And that's really what it's about. It's about not just doing prayer. It's about depending on the one who can answer prayer and growing in that dependence. And as we heard at our annual meeting from our speaker this year, not just that dependence, but growing in that desperation for God. And really the only place to have that need met is in the place of worship and prayer. So, I mean, they really go together. The need to pray personally, the need to pray for pastors, and it's an ongoing issue.
It's so good. I mean, really, as you know, Steve Bass and I take it upon ourselves to call every AMS every year. So we set a timeline to call all 1,100 plus associations every single year. And we divvy those up and we call those guys. And the first year, it was all about information gathering and touching base and whatever. But this second year has been all about prayer. And it's interesting to see how, as I make those calls, AMSs are busy. We know that. You know that, of all people. But when I ask them, "Hey, I'm just calling today to see how I can pray for you, how I can pray for your pastors, and if there's anything pressing that needs to be covered with the Lord." And it's amazing how at least 50% of the calls that I make, you can hear it over the phone. It's strange. The whole demeanor changes. And it's not from bad to good. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it goes from busy to rest, or busy to to desire. It's an amazing shift, and you can hear it in their voice because we're all busy. But the moment that a brother asks us for prayer and really cares enough to lift to the Father the needs that are present, it just changes the attitude. And I find that so comforting and relaxing. Every time I get up every day and I know I have to make the calls I make, and there's days I don't feel like making the calls, I'll be honest. But first prayer that I have with a brother, it just energizes me and gets me back in focus. And that leads me to this next thing I want to say, and I'm sure it doesn't surprise you, but we've all been in those conferences or sessions with our association or our convention. We're at a learning venue or something, and then unfortunately the speaker will say, "Okay, so let's pray." And that for many, it means, okay, it's time to get up and go to the restroom, or it's time to leave the room and sneak out quietly. And that breaks my heart. And talk to us about how do we break that cycle and place prayer back where it needs to be in our lives?
The one thing we've done in our meetings, our associational meetings every year, the last several years now, is we have we've been having the meeting, doing the business, having our speaker, worship time, et cetera. But we've tried to intentionally close every meeting with a season of prayer. Not just somebody jumping up and praying, but at least three, if not five, we've gone between three, five, six people coming up to the podium and intentionally and strategically leading a section of prayer as we prayed together as a group. I just think it takes that kind of intentionality to emphasize the fact that, okay, this isn't just a prayer. This isn't just an invocation. This isn't just a benediction. Mm-hmm. This is time where we're actually stopping to talk to God.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember one of our pastors, I asked this year if he'd pray during the meeting when we were planning our meeting out here in our association. He texted me back and said, am I opening or closing the meeting? He was assuming. He was doing the invocation or the benediction.
Yeah. Isn't that funny?
You're leading the segment. So he got excited about that. So he was glad to be able to do it. But again, it goes back to intentionality and how much time are we spending in that in our gatherings. I remember I heard it one time from a trusted teacher friend leading a prayer conference. And he said, as we were talking about ways to do this that we're talking about now, he said one thing they'd done in their church was he had challenged, he said, of all places in our budget committee, he had challenged their budget committee at their church to not just have, an opening prayer and a closing prayer, but when they started the budget process and planning for the next year in the life and work of their church, he said, I challenged them to spend the first one, if not two meetings, only praying about everything that's in the budget, every area in the budget, not talking about what to spend on it, not talking about whether it worked or didn't, just praying about it. And he said, it was amazing. He said that completely changed their budget planning process.
Wow.
So that it went from just a numbers and, a number crunching kind of time into a faith-based dreaming and visioning kind of time together.
That's great.
It blew him away because they took him seriously. And so, really, again, that goes back to intentionality. Are we really serious about practicing this, or are we just trying to get past it?
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that goes back to the point of something that I've done, I think all of us have done for too long, and I still do it. But the thing of giving lip service to prayer. We'll talk about how important prayer is. We'll say we believe that God answers prayer. But that's one thing. Okay, then how much are we practicing it? It's like a church saying that they're really serious about evangelism and missions. Okay, well, how much time do you spend practicing evangelism in your community? And mm-hmm. how many people do you send on mission trips? Now, that's getting tangible.
Yeah, exactly.
Same thing goes with prayer. Yeah, same thing goes with prayer.
You know what's remarkable about what you just shared is that there tends to be things in the association or in our church that just become mechanical. And look, if there's anything that's number one on that list, it's finances. It's a mechanical thing. It's addition. It's 2 + 2 = 4. And for prayer to saturate, so we would all readily agree that prayer is needed when you're fighting spiritual battles, and prayer is needed when you're praying and you're asking God to bless something spiritual in the church. But then to have prayer saturate your reality to such a level that you're even praying about 2 + 2 = 4, that's significant. Because now you've taken not just the spiritual, but even the mechanical parts of doing ministry, and you've subjected those to the throne of God. And that, to me, just strikes me as powerful and amazing. So let's talk more about how associational leaders can pray for their pastors in their association.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's something that I remember another one of our colleagues, actually the pastor, is on our state prayer team back a number of years ago. We were talking about how we prayed for each other, and he talked about how, actually, my colleague now in association work, Michael Barrett, up in Greensboro, North Carolina. Michael said a mentor of his from the past, and this was, we're talking 12, 13 years ago, he said this mentor of his every Sunday sent an email to him and to four or five other pastors that he had mentored through the years, just as a prayer for that Sunday morning. It's a kind of a way to launch a Sunday. He said every Sunday morning he'd get up looking for that email. And for how his pastor mentor had been praying for him that day.
Wow.
And so that's something I've tried to practice that here. And we've done it with emails, we do it with texts. We do it on Facebook Live, but we try to actually pray on Sunday mornings for our pastors. Our pastors need it every day of the week, but on Sunday especially, for the pastors in our association, I really try to focus on praying for them that day especially.
That's amazing.
And it's been amazing. The amazing thing really for me has been, you know, we'd send out emails or text, and virtually every week, every time we'd have a kind of a theme for the prayer or scripture included or something, and every week somebody, and virtually always it was somebody different, somebody that hadn't responded in a long time, mm-hmm. but somebody, one or two, would reply back and say, thanks, I really needed that prayer today, or would share a prayer request or something. But that was and has been a great way for me to be able to pray for our pastors. And really, I've been encouraging our people to join us on our Facebook Live prayer times, especially on Sunday mornings when we pray, to really be praying for their pastor that day. And one thing I encourage them, especially during Pastor Appreciation Month, I told them, pray for your pastor, and then let your pastor know somehow that you prayed for him today. Hand him a note, send him a text, something. I told him, you don't know how much that'll encourage him. And sure enough, some have come back and said, yeah, my pastor really seems surprised. You know, so, but that's what we need to be doing. We need to be right. praying for our pastors. And that's from association leader perspective down through the leadership of our churches. But it's something we in our associational roles can model for our pastors. And hopefully they're seeing that and they're also practicing that kind of prayer as well.
Well, and listen, I would say this because, you know, I have a good friend, Bob Burton. You know Bob Burton at NAM. And he does that same thing. He sends out a prayer for us every Sunday morning to encourage and equip us as we deliver God's word on Sunday morning. And listen, I don't think you or I or Bob, for that matter, are under any illusion that maybe 1 in 10 take that to heart. But you don't do it for the 9 that don't. You do it for the 1 that does. Oh. And you got to understand with the just kind of the complacency around prayer and what prayer really means in our lives, even in the clergy, which is heartbreaking, there are some that will come to just ignore it or maybe even view that text or email as an annoyance, but that's on them. You do it for the one. Associational leader, listen, if you could adopt, like Bob is saying, a posture that says, hey, I'm going to bless these guys. I'm going to encourage them, empower them on Sunday morning with a quick prayer. I'm going to get that out to them every morning. Don't think that every single one of those guys is going to listen to you. You pray they would, and you hope they would, but you're doing it for the one that feels that extra strength on Sunday morning, and he can deliver the word of God with power because he was encouraged, empowered by a simple word from you as his AMS. Bob, thanks for that. I think that's a huge blessing to our men.
Yeah, I hope so. And one thing I remembered something that happened not too long ago. I'd been, you know, been encouraging pastors to pray, and I actually had one pastor that kind of questioned, "What is it really that important?" He was actually questioning it. You know, that really got me on my soapbox. I was I was really pushing it, encouraging, praying for him. And it's interesting. We kind of dropped it and went on, and we do ministry together. But then before the start of the next year, I saw a message from him to his church on Facebook. He said, looking forward to this coming year as our theme for the year is prayer together.
Amen.
That's so good. Yes. Good. It's a win. We got a pastor that's really
Someone
serious.
Listened.
And that was good. Yeah. That's right. That was good.
Well, so, as you know, Bob, and we've talked about this, prayer can be a true mobilizer for mission. Let me ask you, how can we lead our associations to pray so that our outward focus is driven by prayer and mobilizes us from the mission fields where God has planted us?
One thing we've done here is to take the prayer to the field. In our classic, you know, years ago prayer walking training, I think it was Steve Hawthorne's the one that said we need to pray on site with insight. And as we do that here in Metrolina, and I know I have other association colleagues who do that as well, in that they go out, like Perry Brindley up in Asheville here in Buncombe Association. Every Sunday morning, he goes out prayer walking in his neighborhood, and he'll post a picture from his prayer walk and just talk about he's praying for his pastors and praying for our neighbors.
That's
you know,
good.
That kind of thing, as well as what we've done here, is we do regular strategic prayer walks. And here in Charlotte, we have a light rail system that goes the entire length of the city from north to south. And we've done two or three what we call light rail prayer journeys, where we get on at one end of on the northern end of the line, and we ride it all the way to the center of the city.
Oh, that's fun.
We get off and prayer walk in the center of Charlotte, and then we have lunch, church, and then we'd go to the south end of the line and pray, and then go all the way back to the north together. But just getting out in the field to do it, you know, some people call it a windshield survey, you know, you're walking a survey. It was you're looking at where you are and the needs around you. And I've done that with some of our summer interns in the past. And it was interesting. I did it on purpose one time. When it went from one church location to another, we're going to two different meetings. And I went through a neighborhood I knew she had never been through, because she just, you know, hadn't been here that long, et cetera. And it was a pretty tough neighborhood. And I was kind of driving slow. She was following me. So we got to the church we're going to the meeting at. And when we got out of the car, she said, "Has that neighborhood always been there?" I said, "Yeah,
it has.
I said, "It looked pretty rough, didn't it?" Said, "Yeah. Can we do a prayer walk? Let's do a prayer walk." So just getting out in the field helps us see that need for an outward focus and that need for great commission and great commandment, living and serving.
I love that. You know, we titled the podcast today, A Culture of Prayer in the Association. And I think we could really help our pastors as AMSs to just give them a vision for just what you said. I mean, how many of those guys, how many of our pastors are out walking every night with their spouse or whatever, just to get that exercise in? And they're walking by homes in their neighborhoods. And yet maybe they're neglecting praying for those neighbors. Maybe there's children's toys out in the front yard or whatever. Pray for those children. Pray for the families that are there. You're actually already doing part of the work in your evening walk. Now just bring that to the Lord and pray for each of those families as you walk around. What if every AMS, what if all 1,147 current associations encourage their pastors to say those prayers for their neighbors while they were out on their walk? How would that transform the planet?
That's right. It's significantly. And one, I want to put in a pitch for a great partner here, too, if I can. The tool we use, one of the tools we use significantly in that is blesseveryhome.com. They're a great ministry partner. And if you sign up for free to be a light in your neighborhood, you'll get an email every day with five neighbors' names on it and a scripture prayer prompt for that day of prayer.
Oh, interesting.
And so it's just another great tool to just help us intentionally pray for the neighbors around us.
So two things. First of all, give us that URL again. And then if somebody wanted to talk to you more specifically about implementing a culture of prayer in their association, would you give your email address that they could reach out to you for? So again, the URL of that ministry you just spoke of, as well as your contact information.
Yes, that is blesseveryhome.com, blesseveryhome.com. And then my email is bob@metrolina.org.
Great. Hey, Bob, I want to thank you for that information. I thank you for your willingness to be available to our guys if they want to start a culture of prayer in their own association or even improve one that's already there. And as we wind down today's podcast, I want to thank you because you've been a personal inspiration to me in terms of prayer. I mean, we get on our AMS ambassadors call and I'd see your face and the first thing I think about is how inefficient my prayer life is. So thank you, brother, for the conviction. But let me ask you my final question. As you know, I ask all my guests a final question and I mix it up sometimes, but let me ask you this. Great leaders are always reading. So would you share with the audience, what are you currently reading and why?
Right now, I've read through most of it, but I'm trying to digest it well. I'm reading the book by Will Mancini, Future Church.
Okay.
Seven Laws of Real Church Growth. We're working with his team through Journey here for a year and a half, and I'm really wanting to digest this material. So there's some great common sense, really common sense, biblical common sense ideas around what it really looks like to be the church and how we need to be the church into the future. So that's what I'm reading right now.
Okay. All right. Well, guys, my guest today is Bob Lohman. He is the executive director of Metrolina Baptist Association. Bob, I want to thank you. You're the first guest I've had on twice. So I want to thank you for that. And God bless you and have a great rest of your afternoon.
Thank you much.
All right. God bless.
You have been listening to the AMS Excellence Podcast. For more information or to contact the North American Mission Board's Associational Relations Team, send an email to associations@namb.net.